Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Welcome, welcome. If you're new here tonight, we're so glad that you came. We're Spirit of God Worldwide. You can look us up on the website, spiritofgodworldwide.com. We've got all kinds of resources and information that will really bless you. And tonight, when we were worshiping, I kept thinking about last night, and the Lord was putting it on my heart. I was having this conversation with him tonight. You know, many people saw the Northern Lights, or what do you want to call them? Aurora Boreala. And yes, I said that correctly. And we were having a prayer meeting last night, and we went outside and we watched it. And it's amazing that some people could see white, others could see green, some people saw blue, red, and some people saw it all. And then some people took their cameras and were able to go deeper and see what the natural eye could not see. And I found that interesting as I was pondering. I was pondering off and on today, but tonight I was reminded of a couple things. You know, when Jesus returns, there's going to be like a flash of lightning, some roaring thunder, and everybody's going to know, and no one's going to need a camera, no one's going to want a camera, and I was thinking of the sound that that's going to make. You know, we think in the natural, a little thunderstorm here or there, a big boom, and sometimes it's like rumbly. The thunder and lightning that are going to come in the cloud with our Lord Jesus, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So, you know, the temple was torn in two. Dead people came out of the grave. The supernatural event that is going to occur is everybody's going to be wrecked at that. And I was thinking about last night and how it was so cool to see that, but that was really a natural event. You know, it may be supernatural to you, but it was really a natural occurrence of whatever. What I'm trying to say is the supernatural life style and the walk of the Spirit, you don't need your camera to see, to clarify your lens, to see what you can't see with your natural eye, because you have the Holy Spirit. We've been gifted. You know, salvation's wonderful, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings forth what we don't know in the supernatural. But we have to pay attention and fix our gaze on what the Holy Spirit is saying, or we'll miss it. Now, how many times has there been an aura bora la la la? And I didn't see it. You know, I remember a couple times somebody would call me and say, go outside right now, there it is. And I'd go outside and there's nothing. I don't see nothing. And I thought, I'm not even going to believe you. So last night when they came running in all excited about what was in the sky, I thought, I've been out of bed 17 times already, I'm sure, over the last 2 years looking for this thing that never came. And so I had no hope and no expectation based on what my flesh and my experiences and my emotions have told me in the past. But last night, I did see it. And so I'm tying this into faith because, you know, faith is a substance of the unseen. And how many times have we believed for our healing and it didn't happen right away? And so we're like, okay, when you first... something happens and you're like, I'm believing, I'm contented for my healing. And then you're pretty sure you're going to get your healing and then you didn't get your healing yet. And you're like, well, what gives? And, you know, when I was looking in the Spirit today in the room here at people, I was seeing some hope deferred and I was seeing some anxiety and stress. And that is all schemes of the enemy to stop us from seeing the goodness of God and seeing everything that he's already done for us. And so I'm asking the Lord to remove every blinder and blockage in our carnal fleshly self and open our eyes to the supernatural to see the things he wants us to see, experience the things he wants to experience, to enjoy the things he's already given us. And so when I was asking him for the message tonight, when I was praying on it earlier today, I actually saw like a nice mist of rain coming into the room tonight. And I thought, ooh, refreshing. And I never know what it means. And or sometimes I do, but I didn't late earlier. And then as I was praying and just pondering things with him, I heard the words prophesy. And so I'm like, okay, you want me to prophesy tonight? What do you want? You know, and one of the cool things of the walk of the Spirit is sometimes you just don't know. You know, I don't have a message tonight, but he does. And so I'm listening and waiting and trying to release what he's given me to bring hope and encouragement to the body of Christ. Some in here are who are tired, you're confused, you've got some anxiety issues, you need directions and corrections on certain things. Well, isn't it so awesome that the Lord knows that already? And if you've been crying out, or maybe even half crying out, he hears that. There's not a word that he doesn't hear. Yikes. I repent right now in the name of Jesus. I pour the blood of Jesus over that word. You know, those are important to do. And thank you for his mercy and compassion and grace, because if we tried to live a perfect life, we all fail miserably. So if you think your neighbor's living the perfect life, they're not. If you think your neighbor's so spiritual, they may be. But you know what? God doesn't measure it the way we measure things. And so again, like the lights from last night, he doesn't look through the filters. There are no filters in God. And there's a place in him where you can see from heavenly places. You can be seated in heavenly places, look down on the situations in the earth, and actually laugh at them. Because you're no longer at eye level, or you no longer have a blinder on. You get to see the joy of the Lord. You get to see how to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how do you do that? You need spiritual glasses. You need to have the blinders removed, and you need to focus. And you can't force that. You have to just, Lord, show me what you want me to see today. Lord, I'm hungry for more. We have to contend the distractions in the world. We have to contend the busyness of what we're doing in the world. And we have to center into him, and we know all things. So the battle really is our flesh. You may have a pain in your body. You may have a bill that needs to be paid. And I know there's people in here who are looking for direction, because I can actually, there's a pull in the Spirit on that tonight in here. And God's going to give you the direction. He never, never makes you walk blindfold. He always opens the pathways. He's always cheering us on and always encouraging us to choose life. And then meanwhile, the enemy's trying to get us off course and kick us and tell us stuff that's not true. And so the battle is whose report are you going to believe? You know, it's a good report. It's always a good report. Let me tell you this. It's always a good report. And the word says it. And as you experience, faith and grow in faith, you can track your past faith and pull from that. And it actually generates more faith. Because you know, you overcame on that. Oh, you overcame on that. Oh, yeah, that's right. God taught me how to do this. God taught me how to stand strong in that. And so we pull from our past to either bring breakthrough or setbacks. And excuse me 1 minute. It's really dry in here. So we pull from our past oftentimes either for our breakthrough or our setback. And let me just give you a hint. The enemy wants you to stay in setback mode, but God's already given you the victory mode. And so how do you stay true and stay centered? By believing his word, by believing his promises, looking at those promises, speaking those promises, and then engaging in those promises. And when you do that, his promises manifest. Always, always, always. Now, is it in your time frame? No, not usually. Because he's got systems laid out, and he's got strategies for us. But sometimes if we get the victory, we think, oh, I did that. I got it now. He wants us to stay so close to him and walk so tight with him that we co-labor, that we do things together in the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God to bring forth victory in every area. Is that helping you guys tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. So if it's okay, I just want to kind of clear up a couple things. I'm seeing some stuff in here that I feel like the Lord wants to just break off some junk in here tonight. Are you guys open for that?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sally, if you get anything, feel free to jump in. Are you micing up? I saw it. Amen. I feel like it's going to be a... Yeah. You want to get up? Okay, yeah. I'm just waiting now. I heard a fuzz and went with the fuzz, and now I'm back. So I see there's a tendency, I'm not calling people out unless the Lord tells me to, so I'm going to keep my eyes closed, but if I open them and I look at you, I'm really not, you're not the person. It's just my eyes just happen to land on you, okay? Unless I'm pointing in your face, okay? So I don't want any misunderstandings or the enemy to take something that's not, you know, and say, that's you. It's not. So the first thing I saw was there is some decisions that need to be made. I see a couple people in here, you're like at the front of the cross. You're like, you're not down on your face yet. You're not down on your knees. You're face to face with the cross. And there's some frustration and anxiety that's fueling you to challenge God with the promises that he's given you. And this is so cool because what I'm seeing is he delights in the challenge, but there's actually a spirit of pride that is blinding you. And you're challenging him like he's a bully. And he's not a bully. And so I see him wanting you to lay down a spirit of pride, to lay down a spirit of protection and receive. There's like this grace to press into victory in this area. But in the natural, the circumstances look hard because you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing weariness. You're seeing, you know, your wrinkles, you're seeing how tired you are, how long this trial has gone on. And but I want to tell you something. You're looking in the natural. In the supernatural, there's breakthrough, and I see the breakthrough, and I actually see you like going down on your face before the cross, and then I see you bouncing up and going through the cross into supernatural realm. And receiving this eyesight to see. See, you want the eyesight first, but you haven't surrendered. And so it's kind of like wrong order. And so there's I'm actually seeing these flames of faith, which are igniting and encouraging you to lay it down, lay your fleshly thinking down, and go through and come out on the other side. Amen.
So this isn't... This is a little different. This is actually something the Lord showed me today. I've had a couple weeks of challenge, I believe from the enemy, who tried to take, he tried to keep me out of the place of prayer, which that's my place, that's how I walk in victory. And I've discovered if you pray a little, you have a little victory. If you pray a lot, you have a lot of victory. And if you really pray a lot, it's almost like you're soaring above the natural circumstance, and you stay there, and so stuff just doesn't touch you. It is a lot of work, I won't deny that, but a couple of weeks ago, something kind of took me out, and I didn't, you know, when sometimes Satan's very tricky, and if you don't know what he's trying to do, you know, all I know to do is pray till I get it, you know, pray until I understand what's happening. So, but this kept going, and I knew I was like a little... I can't describe it, but when there's oppression, sometimes you don't know, like, what is it? You think it's your emotions, or you think, and I've been around long enough to know when it's not. I could feel like I was off somehow, but I'm like, what? And I couldn't seem to pray a lot. And so last night I started to get a breakthrough. I started to get, like, because my theory is you pray till you win. That's my theory, and I've seen it for many years. So I just kept pushing in, and last night I finally started to feel it crack open. And today, God said to me, this is like when Samson, he had this amazing strength that people didn't understand.
And they kept trying, remember, they kept trying to figure out what's his secret. And they would try to get Delilah to find out what the deal was. How's he doing this? What's his secret of his strength? And they would try different things. But when they finally figured out it was his hair, they went after him to cut his hair. And that it debilitated him. And then he was like a normal guy. And I have to tell you, during these past couple weeks where I couldn't seem to pray in the normal amount, it was like I whenever this happens, not happened often in my life, but I go, man, this is what people have to live like. This is horrible. No wonder you're sad. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're cloudy. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it was horrible. I don't know how to do life that way. And so I kept praying for this breakthrough. And today God said, this is like Samson's hair. This was actually an attack against your prayer life, specifically to cut your hair, to cut off the glory of God, because Satan finally figured out where your strength was coming from. And so, you know, thank God we always win. But I just want to say this. I know this might not be for everybody, but I feel like for somebody you've had in your life, you've had times where you had a strong prayer life. You've had times when you're strong in the word. But Satan cut your hair. And sometimes his goal is to keep you in that place of dullness so you don't break back through to the heavens. But you have to make up your mind, no, one of us is going down and it's not going to be me. And so I just wanted to encourage you that if you used to walk at a certain level, you can go back there. It's not because God removed you from it, ever, not ever. God has never taken away your anointing. He doesn't work that way. God cannot, he will not take away your anointing, your calling, or your gifting. But sometimes we step in and out of God. We step in and out of the realms of God. And I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you used to walk in certain things, keep pressing in. You'll find your way back there because his grace is on us. His ability, his empowerment, his ability for us to do, it's on us. We have it on tap anytime we call on his name. So press back into where you once were. That's not for everyone, but it was for someone.
Question on that, Holly. You say pray a lot. Is that 5 minutes? That seems like a lot to me. Not really, but you know, like if somebody's never prayed in the spirit, 5 minutes could be a lot, you know.
Well, if you haven't done it a lot, you have to work your way up. It's, I know you've heard me say this, but it's like going to the gym. If you haven't worked out in a while, and especially if you've been sedentary, if you've been sitting a long time, you have to start with 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You start with just a little bit, and then when you start to build your strength up, because if you just say, okay, I'm going to run a mile, bad idea, okay? Bad idea, because then what you'll do is injure yourself and say, I'm never doing that again. I quit. Right? But and prayer is kind of like that. It is labor. You know, it's labor. Paul said, I labor in prayer that Christ might be formed in you. And when you look up that word labor, it's like travail, like a woman in labor. It isn't easy. So you start with 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Actually, have a little timer. If God tells me to pray a certain amount of time, for me it's quite long, but we have a lot going on. We have a lot to cover. So I pray probably more than the average bear. You may not be called to that, but I heard Robert Henderson say something. He said he made a commitment 30 years ago that he would pray an hour every morning before he did anything else. And this is a busy, busy man, goes all over the world. You know, just gonna just
go ahead.
So he travels all the time, and he had this his little studio room or study, and he said to his wife Mary, "You can redo that for something you want to do." He said, "I'm hardly ever here." She said, "Oh, I don't want to." He said, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Because when I go in there, the anointing from all the years that you spent that hour in prayer hangs in that room." And she said, "I can feel God's presence when I go in that room. And sometimes I can feel your presence when you're gone." See, the power of prayer, it changes the atmosphere of everything around you. So start with five if you can't do it. But keep working up until it becomes a really strong muscle. And then you'll eventually get to a point where an hour feels like 5 minutes.
I want to tell you one thing about Robert's chair and the presence in there. This is just a little quick story. On Fridays, I used to go help Edgar and Holly at their house, and Holly was working full-time at that time. And then she'd come home. I don't know. She probably had an hour drive or so. And I went out to her car. She asked me to go out to her car and get her something. I'll never forget this. I opened the car door, and it was like a plume cloud of glory in that car. It was a residue still in there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just sit here for a little bit, you know, and enjoy this presence. And so, you know, oftentimes we can't see the effects or understand it, but just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. So continue to pray. It's one of the most awesome weapons that the Holy Spirit has given us to use on earth.
So my old church, there was a couple ladies that would ask me, can I go sit in your car while you're in here working? Yeah. And they would just go sit in the car. But it was because I drove an hour each way. And what was I going to do? Pray in tongues.
Yeah, amen.
But I think the point is, you actually were created to carry his presence. And we're walking in a natural realm. So in order to rise above it, we have to live in his world. But our nature is not to do that, right? Our flesh nature. So the one way I know to do that is to spend time in the place of prayer, in the spirit, with him exercising that muscle. Because then our vision, or he was talking about our vision in the spirit, it is increased. Our perception is increased. And it's never to judge people, but to help people, right? It's always to help people to come up to the next level. Amen?
I didn't know we were going here, but, you know, since we're on prayer, we actually set ourselves up for victory because we have prayer meetings that we hold every week that we have to go to, whether we feel like it or not. And, you know, we pray on the phone. We have prayer teams on the phone on Monday nights Monday nights and Tuesday nights. Wednesday we're here. Thursdays and Friday we have daytime prayer calls. And Tuesday nights we have a group come and pray in our barn. We have a prayer room in there. And I'm telling you, there is something about praying in the Spirit with other believers. It just stirs the atmosphere and things just, you know, when you join with another person praying, it just builds and continues to build, and it's powerful. And I'm just suggesting, you know, call your friend, and instead of just talking about your day, say, hey, let's pray in tongues 10 minutes today, and watch what happens. And then pretty soon it'll grow, but also the enemy will try to stop it, so be aware of that as well. Amen.
The other thing I would say is it helps you hear, you know, if you're struggling to hear the voice of the Lord, it's almost, you know, to hear him well, you really need to live in his world, which you were born to do. Your citizenship is in heaven. But sometimes we're very rare visitors. You know, we visit once in a while. But we were really called to live in the secret place of the Most High. And we have the privilege that we are all of us get to do that if we want to. And he's made this open door. He tore the veil from top to bottom, this open door that we can go in any time, day or night, throughout the course of our lives. We can set up camp in that place. It takes a while to learn how, but what I want to say is when you pray in the Spirit, what happens is your hearing and your seeing becomes more tuned to the frequency of heaven, because heaven speaks at a different frequency than the earth realm. Right, it's a different frequency, so we aren't born hearing that way. When I first started, I couldn't hear diddle. I couldn't hear anything. Couldn't see. I wasn't prophetic. Couldn't hear. Didn't even know what I was praying about when I would pray in the Spirit. But over time, a sensitivity builds until you can hear a pin drop. You can hear you can feel a feather move. You just like, I don't know how to say it. You'd be in the grocery store and suddenly there's this, oh. What's up? What's up, Lord? Something's happening, and there's someone there that you need to say something to. You know, it's like it's so. It's not that you even heard it. It's like you're arrested. There's a check. Oh, there's something I'm supposed to do. Turn here, okay. And if you will yield to that, you'll find yourself learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, which is how Jesus did all that he did.
Yeah, you know, when I would try to read the Bible before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I never understood it. It just seemed like words on a page. But once I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the word became alive. I could feel the heartbeat of God on that word, and it's incredible. It's like the revelation of his word came alive. And so if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you tonight at the end of the meeting. And if you want to receive your prayer language, John will help with that. Sure. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.